Good morning. We've had presentations from South Asia, Mexico, West Africa, and now we're going to skip across to Southern Africa for this one. And this is some work that we've been doing in Zambia. Just to quickly, the major problems that we have in smallholder farming systems there are basically soils that are quite degraded, poor water holding capacity, poor infiltration rates, lots of hard pans, low organic matter, and just general infertility, and a climate with often low but unreliable rainfall conditions. Again, many of the same pictures that Bram used. Just once again, conservation agriculture, the three principles, minimal soil disturbance. I've underlined two of them here, minimal soil movement, surface crop residue retention, and the one that often lags behind is rotation. We see people often doing the reduced tillage, keeping the residues, but rotation seems to be the factor that often is not incorporated into the system. Now, we wanted to investigate the effects of rotation. Obviously, often we say that the reason for including rotation is to break pest and disease cycles, but we had some evidence that there were other effects that we didn't know about. So they're known to break the pest and disease cycles, but they can also obviously increase fertility through biological nitrogen fixation. But there are other effects on soil quality and water balance that often we don't talk about. The other thing is that it appears that the effects of rotation can be different in conventional and conservation agriculture because of that the effects of root growth, root systems on soil structure and so on, which we break up with the conventional systems, the effects can be very different. So this is a trial at the Monze Farmer Training Center just in southern Zambia, where we have, basically we're going to talk about four treatments. We have a conventional practice, which is used, which is plowed with an animal traction moldboard plow. It's in maize monoculture, residues removed, and the remaining stubble incorporated. Direct seeded maize monoculture, the direct seeder that we use is an animal traction direct seeder from Brazil down here, and residues retained. Then we have a maize cotton rotation, a two-year rotation, again direct seeded and residues retained, and we have both phases of that. And then we have a three-year rotation, which is a cotton sun hemp as a green manure cover crop, maize rotation, three-year rotation, and we have all three phases of that. So I'm going to just whip through some of the results that we're getting from this, from the trial. And one of them, one of the interesting ones, is on biological activity. And the interesting thing here, the data that I'm showing there is just from, we've just been in the trial for just over a year, so this was the second season, and already you can see that these are earthworm counts. We're getting very big differences in earthworm numbers. The yellow bar is with the direct seeded maize, the blue bar with the two-year rotation, this is would be maize after cotton, and the third bar is maize after sun hemp, where we get even more earthworm numbers. We do have data from the other seasons, but unfortunately we've done a little bit late when conditions are drier, and as soon as you get into dry conditions, the earthworms go down, and we haven't picked up the numbers as easily. Soil organic carbon, and I would like to just make a comment here about your data, Dr. Aulek. You showed 0 to 5 centimeters, and I wrote yesterday to Christian saying, send me 0 to 30, because we're biasing the data if we just show 0 to 5 or 0 to 10. Because, of course, in the conventional agriculture, you're mixing that whole top layer, and so you will incorporate the soil organic matter into the whole layer. So I think we have to show the whole plow layer when we look at these. But you can see here over the, this is over three seasons, in the conventional tillage, the we have had a slight reduction in the 3 years in soil organic carbon, and in all of basically either the same or an increase in the three systems with direct seeding and crop residue retention. Water stable aggregates, much higher in all of the direct seeded systems than in the conventional tillage, the red bar. Water infiltration, again, the red line here is the conventional system, and you can see that all of the direct seeded treatments have considerably more water infiltration. This is with a small rainfall simulator, not just the surface properties with the double rings, but really the including the effects of the droplets, and the best infiltration, the highest infiltration there, the top line, where we have the three-year rotation with the incorporation of cotton and sun hemp into the system. And this is just looking at the progression of soil water across the season. Unfortunately, just because of a problem of funds, we don't have all of the access tubes and systems that we'd like, so we don't have them in the three-year rotation. But you've got this is the 0 to 10 centimeter layer, always the soil moisture in the conventional tillage plot is lower. Again, 10 to 20 and 20 to 30. So right across the season, we have lower soil moisture in all of those three layers. Now, this is a combined set of that. This is the 0 to 60 combined, and you can see this was, in fact, a pretty wet year. We had 761 millimeters, but all we had was one. It was pretty well distributed, but we had one dry period here, and that was enough just for the check for the conventional tillage to go drop down for about 10 days below 50% available moisture. So there was some stress there, and that had quite a big effect on the yield. It's just before flowering, and so it had a major effect. Now, if we look at an integration of those across the season, we see that the conventional tillage plot had, on average, 142 millimeters of total soil moisture, whereas the direct seeded continuous maize 150, and the maize after cotton 153. So about a 10% increase, or 7% increase in soil moisture in the profile due to the direct seeding. Now, if we look at the yield data, the first season here, this was the first season of the trial, so we didn't have the previous rotation crops. So here we've just got the check against the direct seeded maize, and a pretty sizable yield increase even in the first year of about a ton in yield. In the second year, now this is not really the rotation. Here's the conventional, the direct seeded continuous maize. This is maize after cotton, and this is maize after sun hemp, but it hadn't had the three crops yet. It hadn't had the cotton sun hemp, just the sun hemp. And again, you can see that we are getting a pretty big yield increase from the incorporation of cotton in the system and from incorporation of sun hemp in the system, which is pretty marked, and that the together that, well, the sun hemp gives us about a 2-ton increase in yield. This year, now we have had the rotation, the complete rotation, and again, we're getting these pretty big increases in yield with incorporating the rotation into the direct seeded crop. And again, in this last year, with basically a huge yield increase of about 3 tons, it's about a 75% increase in yield in the 3-year rotation. So we see a clear positive effect of erosion of rotations on soil quality. on water relations and yield. I think that, especially the last one, is very, very clear. The productivity was the best was the direct seeded in a 3-year rotation, followed by the direct seeding within a 2-year rotation, the direct seeding itself with residue retention, and last of all, the conventional practice. Now, we need to still look at the possibility that part of those results, especially of the sun hemp, is due to nitrogen. We don't apply a non-limiting level of fertilizer in the trial. We apply what we think is a reasonable economic level that farmers could use. So fertilizer could still be a little limiting, and we do need to look at that effect of nitrogen. But the important thing is that we got a major yield increase just of about a ton by incorporating cotton into the system as well. So the cotton maize was giving us a ton of higher yields, whereas the sun hemp, another one. Obviously, the profitability of each rotation will depend on a lot of other factors, land areas, markets, farmer preferences, whether they actually want to diversify into these other crops. So thank you very much. I should mention that here there's a lot of different organizations mentioned. There's one that unfortunately I haven't got on there yet, and this is one that we've got into, collaboration that we've got into this past season, and thanks to the University of Tennessee is how we have the analysis of the organic carbon. We've had huge problems with getting reliable soil analysis data, so it's been great, thank you, Neil, to get this collaboration growing and going and getting some good analysis data. So thank you very much. We do have a couple of minutes if there are any questions. Yes, Forbes.
What are your nitrogen rates, the farmer nitrogen rates that you believe are economic rates? How many kgs per hectare?
We're applying just over 72 kilos per hectare.
And how much do you think the crotal area, the sun hemp, is going to be providing in addition?
We haven't measured it, but if I just go to some of the Brazilian data, I think we're probably somewhere between 60 and 70 kilos, 60 and 80 kilos maybe, because it really grows well in that environment. It's on the first slide, but a picture of it. So I think that would be sort of reasonable. Yes, please. Meda. We did studies that first season on different groups. Most of the others were fairly variable. The beetles and especially the termites were very variable because of their mobility. And those were basically the three groups we looked at. We did look at also at nematodes and didn't find any difference in the nematodes.